Blog Talk Radio.
You can come to the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, death into the palace. Better check your matters to find divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin to pure ugly. Hug me polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I answer if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I press the rose from my garden cause my heat's there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now pure glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dude's house, spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the guff on that Turner style, untainted. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is a diva squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Talk to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rhyme, survive all your lines. Most high too good, so I keep saying I. Why parable, GQ, not comparable. How the line disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Making major moves, GQ, it's colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
All right, Dons and Divas. I am your host, Rich Money. And welcome back to another episode of Love and Entertainment here on GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out, as usual, to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a marvelous show. We had up-and-coming artists, Titus, 1-4, and we played his smashing single, Don't Thread on Me. We had author Al King, and we talked about his book, Let It Be Known, which he'll be coming back to tonight to discuss the conclusion of Let It Be Known, because last week we didn't get enough time to actually talk because he had so many callers calling in asking him questions about his book. Then we had singing sensation Charles Wilson, and we played his single, What One Man Won't Do, Another Man Will. So, to hear last week's episode, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace, and check out the archives. Now, tonight, we're going to do something a little different, and we have a banger for y'all as well. What we're going to do is we're going to sit back, relax, and we're going to play the artist material, and you can feel free to call in and give your comments and thoughts on the material, or even if you feel you have a topic you want to discuss, what I'm willing to do is I'm going to end the music, and we're going to talk about a topic that you feel you want to discuss from 6 to 7 p.m. Then, from 7 to 8 p.m., like I said, we have author Al King back, conclusion from part two of his interview to discuss his book, Let It Be Known. That's from 7 to 8. Then from 8 to 9, we have our special guest appearance, pioneer legend Positive K. Well, if you remember Positive K, you remember the song, I Got a Man. He did a joint with MC Light, Milk D, and all of them. He will be in the building. We're going to play his smashing single that he got circling around the world, hitting the nation real hard. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back. And we're going to play some tracks with some exclusive pioneers and everything. Like I said, if you have a topic that you choose you want to discuss, push that one button and we'll discuss your topic. But until then, we're going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the music. This is Rich Money, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butterfly.
Why me? Charles Wilson, why me?
All right, Dodge and Diva. 646-200-3838. This right here is a banger by G.I.T.O. One hell of a night. Let's go.
You know why you never take the bank? You got me on my grind. When you gon' let me hold the cake? Bitch, you must be out your mind. Flow sick and emotional, cause I'm so lit up. I be the one that don't boost it up, pick it up. Haters ain't got this, that's why they so bitter. You be the pre-show, I be the boost hitter. Lethal injection, doses, dope giver. No rejections when I'm soaking up. We done sex and now I'm ghost nigga. On to the next, got chicks on post nigga. You don't get none cause you's a broke nigga. Don't I come quick cause you's a old nigga. Such stamina, how I be cramming her. So your chick over here, but I damage her.
Man, I can tell from your eyes what you thinking. I know you really like my style.
Clock 3 in the morning, girl, I don't really care just long as we get it on. I don't wait at this slow, my dick is this strong. The way I give it to you, you gon' think I did you wrong. Don't worry about a song, I hit you with something long. Hit the right spot, how you screaming like a horn. Tearing that chick long, all up in your guts, I'm full. The ribs up, stick, stiff, I lift them tits up. Suck on them shits till you feel you about to bust. Don't worry, this ain't love, this is lust. So by the morning, we can get back to doing us. Baby girl, you a plus. Sort of like drugs, the way you're giving me a rush. Take your time, baby girl, don't rush. Matter of fact, he's up, I'm about to erupt.
Baby, I can tell from your eyes what you're thinking. I know you really like my style. Pull up all eyes on me. I'ma show you how I just can get down. Come on and roll with me. Get crazy, girl. I'ma show you one hell of a night. Fly with me. Get nasty, girl. Guarantee that's that body vibe.
Rich here and you know I go off. Just hit the hay, so excuse my cough. Too fly, I'm about to take off. Again, I be so top off.
Black in the VIP, fitted cap so low you can't see ID. What was that? Peep game. game, you don't know about me. I got the keys to the handcuffs, wanna be free, now let's ride.
Yeah, I like the way she's doing that. Let's get go, drop it low, then you bring it back. Let's get go, yeah, me going off a sex drive. Let's get go, I seen enough, baby, let's ride. Let's get all the go. Girls in the club know I do it right. I keep a couple bad dime pieces on the side. Guess I'm the man, understanding this every night. Come on, yeah. Quit the stall and get up, but she ballin' and kick.
This ain't a pop song, this a hot song. Grown women who ain't shy, gon' show your thong. Get loose, great goose, sure to do the job. She let me grab it ass off like a cotton swab. I feel good, yes sir, it's Friday. G'd up, rockin' down a la Sante. Drink a shot straight, no chaser. I'm your girl's choice, I don't chase her. But she feelin' me and really see why you in the club with your girl steady grillin' me. Definition of a Mac, grade A, the epitome. I'm here for a while, so you haters can't get rid of me. Yeah, 3 in the morning and I'm ready to go. Feeling freaky, so she dropping it low. Two-stepping with a bottle of mo. Let's do a trick like Houdini, baby. Let's get ghost with a smoke. Yeah, I like the way she's doing that. Let's get ghost. Drop it low, then you bring it back. Let's get ghost. Got me going off a sex drive. Let's get ghost. Sing it up, baby. Let's ride. Let's get ghost.
All the girls in the club know I do it right. I keep a couple bad dime pieces on the side. Guess I'm the man, understanding this every night. Come on, quit the stall and get up with your ball.
Yes, I'm the man, understand. She take it all off without the grands in my hand. But you gotta pay. I label you a trick. What you missing is the game. Me, I'm real slick. Take notes, write it down before I bounce. I play smooth, go hard when it counts. Dig that, hit it, gotta come it back. Reverse, it's hard not to get attached. True facts, got a girlfriend with her. Tag team, please follow me like Twitter. Go get her, dime piece, gorilla. Flow spitter, fire freaks, smoke liquor. I got the combination for the time when you life, right? All you gotta do is hop aside for the night. Baby whispered in my ear that she ride like a bike. But I need to feel the truth. Wanna talk into my mic? 1, 2. Yeah, I like the way she's doing that. Let's get go. Drop it low, then you bring it back. Let's get go. Got me going off a sex drive. Let's get go. Sing enough, baby, let's ride. Let's get
all the girls in the club know I do it right. I keep a couple bad dime pieces on the side. Guess I'm the man, understanding this every night. Come on, quit the stall and get up with you.
All right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Once again, DAMG, baby.
I'm taking the logo off tonight. Rich Money Lover Entertainment, 646-200-3838. I'm about to play this next joint by Bo Bastic. I just want to do you. If you have any topics that you feel you want to discuss, get at me. Let's make it happen.
Mel, what up, baby? Pyro. Lee, what up?
Here you come.
Moving through the club, I'm feeling like the new me. Then she put her hands on me, said she wanna do me. Now she on the dance floor, moving all loosely, singing off key. Blame it on the goosey. Hand on the set size, hand on the coochie. She's on fuego, smoking like a loosey. Said she got a camera, wanna shoot a movie. Treat me like a superstar,
I wanna be a groupie.
She know how to move, she know how to shake it. Got some pretty panties on,
I want you to take it.
Moving like a rattlesnake, biting on the bottom lip. Fingers all in the hair, little purse by her hip. Now she getting closer, looking in my eyes now. Hand on my holster, trying to check my size now. I think she like me, cause I'm a cool dude. Then she whispered in my ear,
I just wanna do
anywhere,
you
anywhere, I don't care.
I just wanna do you.
Ooh, baby, pull on my hair.
I just wanna do you.
I can ride it on
top. I just wanna do you.
Ooh, baby, on top.
To you.
Moving through the pool party, chilling in my linen, B. That's when she approached me, said how she feeling me. Booty all big, titties all swole, headlights on, I guess the water kinda cold. Got a hair pinned up, nice lips, cute face. Asked, do I want her to show me round her new place? Said she got a stick shift, cause she like to grip things. Went to the kitchen, came back with whipped cream, playing with my zipper, saying I'm a QE. Went to the bedroom, hopped in a jacuzzi, then to the shower, try not to lose me. Then she turned the camera on, time to make a movie. Bedroom, canopy, mirrors on the ceiling, hopped on top of me, oh what a feeling. I don't even know her, I'm like, who you? Then she whispered in my ear,
I just wanna do you.
Anywhere, I don't care.
I just wanna do you.
Ooh, baby, pull on my hair.
I just wanna do you.
I can ride it on top.
I just wanna do you.
Ooh, baby, on top.
I just wanna do you.
Cell phone ringing.
Hi, Poppy.
What you thinking about, my
Poppy?
I'ma hop on top. I'm not gonna stop. I wanna do some things to you.
Like it when I smack that, like it when I pull her hair. I go hard, she move back, I grab her hips, pull her hair. Pulling on her, tugging on her right before she gush. I turn her upside down and put my
Now, you could hold back or you could yell, but I be doing it and doing it and doing it well. From the kitchen counter to the floor to the shower, I go hard, I handle that mama. Licking her in places, making her bells jingle. Every time I call her, she feel a little tingle. Now she on her cell phone, touching on her tutu.
Baby, I just wanna do you.
Anywhere, I don't care,
I just wanna do you.
Ooh, baby, pull on my hair,
I just wanna do you.
I can ride it on top,
I just wanna do you.
Ooh, baby, don't stop,
I just wanna do you.
Alright, check this out, Dons and Divas. Our topic for this evening is, what would you do if you found out your mate, your what now, had a domestic violence case on the last mate they was with? It was real serious and you didn't know about it. So get at me and let me know what you do in that situation. 646-200-3838, press 1 to give your point of view on the topic. Once again, what would you do if you found out your mate you with now had a domestic violence case on their last mate and you never knew about it? And it was real serious. Get at me, y'all. Press that 1 button. Let's see what's going down. Right now, we're going to get into Worth Your Time by Iris here on GQ Palace Radio. Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Do you know what it feels like to have a million thoughts running through your head? Think about where you at late night while laying in the bed. And I wonder, when you're out of mind, do you ever have a thought about me? Oh, and I wonder, are the streets more important than me?
how I thirst for more. Keeps me coming back to the truth. So wrong, you damn near blowing, melts away my heart.
Hi, anybody wants to be y'all?
Nothing short of wow. And the way she works to tell me who's the winner now. Best believe I'm safe. That's how you want it right. There goes my shoes, babe. I'm in here for the night. Your heart's racing, my hand's shaking. Stupendous, colossal, epic love making. Bringing out from men and me. All over your canopy. Tossing, turning. I'll never stop turning. So bottom at the ocean's floor, I just found my treasure in you. So sweet, like the darkest berries, how I thirst for more. Keep me coming back to the truth. So warm, yeah, damn near blowing, melts away my heart. I just want you all to myself. It's so right. I reach for the Bible down.
He gonna have to go, because I'm not going to be staying there for me to be the next victim. Because I'm going to tell you, I may not be as nice as that other one was.
Well,
I like
it's funny,
nice.
It's funny you should mention that, because I was watching an episode the other night where the lady wanted to leave, and he killed her. It was on Fatal Attraction. He killed her because she found out he was cheating and put her body in a car and burned it.
Whoa. Whoa. You know,
she was
going to
leave him.
On, a lot of that happens, though. You know, and you never know. But my thing is, you know, you may be better off not even saying anything and just walking away, because you don't know if you're going to be the next victim.
Exactly.
You know, because if you ask, then, you know, he may feel some, he or she may feel some type of way and be like, well, I guess they're going to leave me. But if I can't have them, nobody else can. Because you
exactly.
have people like that.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's a good question, you know, but at the end of the day, I mean, what do you really do? Especially if you've been into this relationship for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it may not have happened, but, you know, your question to that person would be, what did this person do to cause this balance?
Yeah, but see, sometimes
you know,
I don't have to do nothing. You understand?
Well, that's
some people
true.
Just some people
they
just
lose it
out of brain. Yeah, and you know, they, sometimes they go through a lot, but you know, sometimes they might feel lonely, and they feel like this person is leaving them like everybody else, and they're not going to let them leave them, and you know,
right.
they get this rage feeling inside.
That insecurity, you know, if you go
hey,
somewhere,
you, go.
You could just be going to work, but that person may
mm-hmm.
have the thought of you being this with somebody at work. You don't know
mm-hmm.
what that you know. So, I mean, in that situation, you know, I would have to ask, though, regardless. And just hope
See.
And pray or have my peace with me when I ask the question in my pocket.
She's just like that movie Four Colored Girls. You ever seen that movie Four Colored Girls?
No.
Okay, where he had the kid out the window because he thought she was cheating on him. And her boss was a lady, and he thought it was a man, but it was something wrong with him mentally anyway. And he dropped
wow.
the two kids out the window. You never seen that one, that movie?
No.
Yeah, he dropped the kid out the window by Tyler Perry.
Oh, I'm gonna have to find that one. You
yeah,
said it's called
on
Four Black Girls?
Four Colored Girls.
Four Colored Girls.
I think it's called The Colored Girls. The Colored Girls, I believe it's called. The Colored Girls. By Tyler Perry.
Wow.
And you know,
wow.
It was something wrong with him mentally. See, he always thought she was cheating, but she came home with her boss in the limo,
uh-huh.
which was Janet Jackson. And he was looking out the window, and she didn't know he was looking out the window, but she just came home to get some paperwork. But he thought it was a man in the car. And he
wow.
asked her, would she marry him? And she said, no. She's not going to marry him until he gets himself straight. So he called the kids over to him. A little boy about 3 or 4, and the girl must have been about 4 or 5.
Wow.
And he held him out the window. I think it was like a 5 or 6 story building. He held him out the window, and he dropped him.
Now, see, yep. no. So once he brought my kids back in there,
he didn't bring them back in. Oh,
he dropped
them
out the window?
He dropped them.
No!
Yes, he dropped them out the window. He didn't bring them back inside the window. He dropped them.
He would have went right behind him. Because I would have took everything in my power to push his butt out, too.
Mm-hmm. But that's
wow.
What, you know, you never know what's on a person's mind, especially in domestic violence case. You know, you got some people that been with people right now that they don't even know that if they killed the last person they was with, or if they stabbed them or shot them or what the case is.
Right.
You know? But you don't want to do
yeah,
a background
wow.
check on nobody. But sometimes, ooh. I guess, who knows? Sometimes, you know, I guess you have to do it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. But, you know, like I said, I just hope and pray that I never run into anyone like that. Because, like you said, you never know the outcome or what you really would do. I mean, especially if you've been with this person for a while, but it ain't that much love in the world for me to lose my life.
You know, some people just don't feel like, they feel like, you know, like females, you know, they get beat up and everything, and they go back with the same person.
Right.
Not knowing so about, oh, well, you know, they got problems, I'm here to help them. Like, no, you're not here to help them.
Or this thing where, you know, you whoop my butt, and then you know you want me to get in the bed with you. Like, that's going to appease me. No.
But, you know, it's females out here that do that. It's guys, too, because you got females now that's more aggressive than guys. You know, and the guys, they get all wimpy and, you know. And, you know, they sit there and they take it. You understand?
Right.
And
female,
I think nowadays females get more verbal with guys, mentally.
True.
That's how they get to guys. They can't get them physically. If they do, then I'm sorry, I gotta say them some punks. You know, but you got some females that's strong. But I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
you got some
out here that can whoop a man's butt.
Yeah, you do. But if I ever see it, and a friend of mine be like, yeah, my girl just blacked my eye and such and such. Oh, your girl blacked your eye. You know, it's I'm sorry, I can't see it.
If she do black his eye, he better not let his boys know it. He better not go around them, because he had never lived that one down. You know, but like I say, I mean, you got some out here now that'll give them a dude a run for the money. But, you know, my thing is, I'm not even trying to go out like that. Because if you got to beat on me, then you don't need me. And you definitely don't love me. You know. And then you gonna tell me, let's go to bed, baby. Let's make up. You better kick rocks somewhere. Because you might go to bed with me and end up with nothing to work with after that.
Yeah, but you know, that's how you got me. Like for instance, I was watching another episode, The God Romeo from Steve Harvey. Okay. He had got set up. What happened was, he was dealing with he met this female. And this is a true story, you know, about how he got murdered. He met this female. Him and his best friend, two females walking by. You know, because like they were saying, when you're young and you've been in the spotlight so long, you get used to all that attention. As he got older, you know, he wasn't getting shows or anything like he was getting. So he wasn't getting that attention that he was normally getting before. And it just so happened, two girls walked by, him and his friend was in the car, and they waited. So he liked the attention he was getting from her.
Right.
So he met her. They went in the restaurant. They met, and whatever the case is, you know, went the next day. You know, they did their little thing, had sex and everything. So what they saying was, to make a long story short, the next night, two nights later, they had met up again. And they were saying he must have did something like pushed her back, because, you know, he probably got what he wanted. And, you know, boom, you know, nothing like that. He wasn't paying her the attention that he was paying her when he first met. So she went back and told some friends of hers that he raped her.
Ooh.
Now, this is Romeo from the Steve Harvey show.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, yeah, so she went back and told two guys that they raped her, that he raped her. And the guys came back. She went and got the guys. They came back, and they waited for him to come out the party that they had met in. And while him and his friend were sitting there, they seen two people run up to the car. And they seen, like, laser, the laser from the gun. And they shot one of the guy that had the laser, he was shooting a gun. And a bullet hit him in the back of the head.
Oh.
And that's how he died. And come to find out, the girl was only 15 years old.
Oh, man.
So he never knew the girl's age. And they were saying, man, if he actually knew the girl's age, which you understand, he probably would have been alive today.
Exactly, because he probably would have never messed with her.
And what's crazy is the guy that shot the gun that killed him, he got 70 to life. The girl
70 to life.
Yeah, 70 years to life.
Whoa.
The girl, she only got 10 years. So she's 15. She'd be out when she's 25.
Wow. She'd just be starting to live.
Exactly.
They should have gave her the same amount of time. I don't care if she was a juvenile or not. She lied about the situation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that's what I think. I was like, only 10 years? How did we get 10 years? She's the one who set it up. She lied about it.
Exactly.
But she probably told the truth that he never raped her, you know, and everything. So my thing is, how are you going to give this girl 10 years? Talk about they charged her as an adult.
After she confessed that she set him up.
Mm-hmm.
And
the other guy who had, exactly, and the other guy who had the 38, his gun jammed. I didn't even hear what he had got. I mean, so you got to look at it a lot of ways when you actually meet people, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to tell you, a couple of years ago, I met a female. Come to find out, she was certified bipolar. She burned down a dude's house when she was 15 years old. I said, oh, my God. wow. Never said nothing to her, and she was a stalker. She called my phone with like 60 messages, and when I see you, I'm going to throw acid in your face. I'm going to throw rocks at your car.
What?
I'm going to hit your baby mama with a rock. I said, oh, Lord. This girl had me coming from work looking from behind cars, and I said, if this girl jump out, I'll knock her out. I swear to God, Lord, forgive me. But, yeah, you know, you got to check
people sometimes.
That's what
made her leave you alone.
I just told her, I said, if you do something, I'm going to break your neck. I'm going to treat you like a man. I'm going to beat the out of you.
Wait a minute. Did she know where you live?
Yeah. Yeah, she knew where I live.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a scary situation. A scary situation.
Wow. Have you seen him since then?
No. Nope. I never seen that girl again.
Ooh. Shoot, she might not be living doing all that stuff or locked up once.
I wouldn't be surprised.
A person like that, man, I mean, they might end up doing themselves in, you know?
Yeah, because you got some people, you know,
that's weak-minded like that.
Yeah. They don't think about the repercussions and everything as well.
Right.
I take it as, you know, you get what you give. You know,
That's true.
I think some, you know, one female, she thought she was a guy. And, you know, I'm sorry to say that. I hit the female because she was jumping up in my face like a guy. And I said,
you had to treat her like one.
Exactly. I said, because she thought she was a guy. She was a dyke. Let me put it like that. I ain't even going to pack
yeah,
her up.
Yeah, you
she
know,
was
they cock diesel.
Exactly. And I told
yeah,
her.
Especially the ones that portray themselves as the role of the man in the relationship.
Exactly.
You know,
they'll
fuck up at a man in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's when you get beat down like a man.
Exactly. That's just what I told her. I said, listen,
you know,
if you keep jumping at me like a man, I'm going to treat you like a man.
Wow.
Oh, what you going to do? I said, listen, I'm going to tell you one more time. If you keep jumping in my face like a man, I'm going to treat you like a man.
Like boy, once more. I ain't telling you no more. Once more.
I didn't punch her.
If you didn't, I'm going to tell you, Rich, if you didn't, she would have tried you.
I slapped her. I slapped her, and then I slapped her again over the fence.
You was ready to split that head to the white meat, wasn't you?
Yeah, bust it open. Bust it wide open. And you know, my best friend mother looked out the window. She said, what are you doing hitting on that girl? And I yelled back, she's jumping in my face like a man. She just looked like, oh, well, you know.
She got what she deserved.
you know, I don't care. You got certain females that think they men.
Right.
But then when they try to approach a man, they don't think a man will actually do something because you're really a woman.
Right. I mean, but so, you, I mean, hey, it's this simple. If I'm telling you, if I was that man and I'm telling you, back up off of me, you know, but you're going to call yourself trying to cut me or whatever. I mean, the man has the right to defend himself.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, hey, I've been there, done that, okay? I was in an abusive relationship, actually a marriage. And, I mean, you know, hey, I got tired of that mess. And I'll never forget, I was like, ooh, I don't know how many months pregnant I was. This fool gonna call himself trying to jump on me? Had me bent over the sofa on my back backwards. And I just felt like my stomach was just pulling. And I seen a bat in the corner. I got that back. Ka-tow! I bet he got up there. I mean, you know. But at the end of the day, 95% of the women, you cannot beat a man. So stop acting mm-hmm. like you can. You know, if it comes down to where you got to have balance in the relationship, it's time for you to go your separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. You know, but you can tell, and I guarantee you, if you're not really doing anything, this is the female, and this man just whoop your butt for pump, just for pure, because I want to do it. Guess what? If he do it once, he's going to continue to do it again, especially if you stay there with him.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, if you're being abused, get out of it. Get out of it. Because the second time, you may end up dead. You know?
Yeah.
And like somebody said in the forum, sleeping with one eye open? No, no, no. I'm not going to be afraid to go to sleep. Not knowing what that person can do. But then again, if you're in love with that person, you don't know. You know, you may not want to walk away because it hasn't happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, you know, hey, know who you're dealing with. You
exactly.
know, that's my thought on that. Know who you're dealing with. You know, because like you say, you do have some people that's bipolar. They sweet as they want to be one minute. The next minute they may look at you like, you know, ready to just kill you.
Yeah.
When you see that, you better haul butt like Forrest. Run, Forrest. You better run. I mean, because you never know what that person really truly may do to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I don't need to cut you off, but you stay on the line. I want to go to a song real fast.
Okay.
Then I want to come back and finish this conversation with you.
Okay. Let's move.
All right. Stay right there.
You know I love you, right?
I love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. Set it up from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Oh,
my mind. I just wanna give you, make love to you.
You
put you on a rocket flight. Keep on loving till we touch the sky.
Welcome back to the palace. Akola, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, okay. We just need to take a few minutes. I probably had to stick my head into the freezer for a little while.
That's what you need to be playing is getting hot in here.
And I'm like, oh, Lord.
All of a sudden, I started sweating. They had to take the jacket off. I'm like, oh, Lord, is that my age telling on me again?
Yeah, so it's like,
it got up to 99, but they said it was like 105 or something like that with the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still like 93.
Like this, a job of person crazy.
Can you imagine those people out there working on roofs, though? Jeez. It might be some of them bipolar people that's out here abusing people.
Yeah, uh-huh. I don't know. If y'all know this girl and she's bipolar, you better leave her alone. But she's going to take it to a whole nother level. You understand? She's going to take it to a whole nother level.
I really don't want to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up. Like, you know, Miss Alexander, the woman in Florida that just fired the warning shot.
Oh, wow.
You know
what? That didn't make no sense at all.
How are you going to give me 20 years? I didn't kill the fool. I should have. I might not have got no time.
And you see, but that's where we got to start, you know. That's where we got to all start getting together, because you know for the fact that you bringing it up with the Zimmerman and everything, and he gets away for murdering, you know, Trayvon, and you know, and it's bad because like you say, you got Amadou Diallo, you got Sean Bell, you got Trayvon Martin, you
right.
got
so many.
Yeah, I forgot the young man, Lord forgive me, that the cops chased and killed him in the bathroom. You understand?
Oh, yeah. He was a kid, too.
American.
He was a baby, too.
Exactly. In a bad
you know,
part
and
about
the boy
it,
didn't
he...
have nothing.
No, he didn't have nothing at all. At all.
I mean you know, like,
in his house.
That one kid that the police shot in the car and killed him, I think he was about 17.
Just
you know,
recently,
the kid didn't even get a chance to get out the car or anything.
Just
I mean,
on a beach, they choked a 14-year-old kid, the cops, and he was so scared he urinated on himself.
Wow.
Because, I can't remember what it was he had.
Wow.
But it wasn't nothing, you know, like
illegal or anything
dreadful,
like that.
Illegal, exactly.
Wow.
And that's what I mean with the cops.
I'm telling you, I dated a cop for a minute, right? At first, it was nice, you know, because I was like, well, hey, I ain't got to worry about nobody messing with me. Man, this fool got to acting stupid. Would ride by my place, shining that the bright light in my bedroom window. Talking about he seen somebody walking in the bedroom. Mind you, I'm on the second floor. So how are you seeing anybody at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning walking around in my bedroom, even if it was somebody there? And it just let me know that they're so used to controlling people, you know, that you think you can control anybody and everybody. And I had to get away. I actually moved from Philadelphia behind that, you know, because, I mean, I started getting scared because I was going to, like, different bars and stuff like that. And he was like, well, you need to let me know what bar you're going to so I can have my boy to come in and check on you. No. What, your boy come in there and check on me and say, you know, might even just come and say, you good, or whatever. And then another person walk outside 20 minutes later, they get busted or something. They gonna think that I set that up.
See, but you got a lot of these cops out here, and I'll be looking at them, they're kind of young, but when they get that badge or that gun, they want to think that they're
cops.
Invincible, you know.
Right.
You know, and it's like...
But 90%
okay,
of them, Rick, if they take that gun off their side, they cannot street fight.
No.
You know, I wish those days would come back. Where you just... I mean, hey, let's go straight up. Knock, knock. I get my butt whooped. All right, yeah, let's shake hands and walk away. But it's not like that. If they're not jumping you, they're killing you.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know?
You're right.
I mean, we lose so many of our young people to violence, you know, gangs and all of that. Wannabe gangs, put it that way. Because you're definitely... I tell you what, 90% of the little gangs around here and our states and everything like that, go to Cali. I guarantee you wouldn't survive a day. Call yourself in a gang.
Exactly.
And it's sad.
Exactly.
It's sad
you
when you're
what?
Scared to sit out in front of your own place.
Mm-hmm. And it's sad because this new generation, they don't understand, you know.
Man.
How life really is. Back in the days, it wasn't that series where, you know, you get beat up and you go get a gun. You take that loss, you put it on your back, you put the H on your back, and you handle it.
Right.
You understand?
Hey,
nowadays, when you beat somebody up, you gotta watch behind your back, because they might come back and...
And your family gotta watch out, too. Don't forget about your family, because if they can't get to you, they're gonna go to a family member.
Exactly.
And it's really... But what do? You know?
Well,
you know, like we've been saying, hey, yeah, we got to stick together, but we can't worry about what the next man going to do. Maybe if we put on our show, then they're going to look at what we're doing and maybe they'll follow and tell somebody else. Do a relay thing, a domino effect.
Maybe. But,
you know,
I want to thank you for joining me this evening.
Not a problem.
You know, on your point of view.
I enjoyed it.
You can stay on the line. I have Arthur Al King coming up.
Okay.
He was on last week, and we talked about his book, Let It Be Known,
okay.
Which we never got to finish because so many people called in and was, you know, talking about his book. So, you know, we had him back this weekend. And we also have Positive K coming on, the pioneer legendary MC rapper, Positive K. But I want to thank you for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can stay
on
the line. All right, Dons and Divas. Coming up next, we got Arthur Al King, and we're going to talk about his book, Let It Be Known. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Montana, junkies on a diet. Raining on my jewels, I ain't know I started riot. Ryan with the blicker, messing up her makeup. You blowing up a phone, she ain't trying to pick up. Drinking out the bottle, Melina with a model. I throw 100 racks up, you think I hit the lotto. Ryan with the wolves, I ain't talking Minnesota. Shorty coming over, go and bend it over. Let me plank on it, put a drink on it. Heard you a freak, put my name on it. Montana, huh?
Brother and boys, baby, doing the most. If I look at his friend, he be gripping his toes. So I took him to the crib to kill him with it. Put my legs behind my head, I hit the ceiling with it. When I put it in his mouth, I couldn't believe it. He looked me in my eyes and said he wanna bleed it. Pasa, pasa, you ain't got no wings in me, casa. Big fat, it's too Mufasa. Kill the Green Acres, get up Blue Plaza. Some of them said I'm bully, some of them said I'm Gaza.
And Divas, welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have author Al King. Al, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brother Rich.
I want to appreciate. I know you were busy, man, but I had to have you back on since I couldn't get. You know, we couldn't get the conversation in and the interview like we wanted today on the call in, and you know, so I made tonight just the fact where. You know, I want them to listen about Al King and his book, Let It Be Known. You understand? Without any interruption, you know, and the fact of, you know, the titles that you got for your show. I mean, for your book. I know we discussed it, the 30-minute rule. But first, let the audience know who you are, again, you know, and a little about your book, Let It Be Known.
Al King, I'm an author, also a publisher. Born and bred out of the Bronx. I like to just say that, and I'm very humble about my beginnings because I'm from the concrete. I'm from spice, ham, and cheese, cold water, ovens heating up the apartment, and just a brother that's trying to contribute to society and not detract. So I came up with this book, Let It Be Known, which is a heartfelt collage of my perspective of some of the things that I feel we'll either be facing or have faced inside this thing called life. So inside this book, which is 13 chapters, it's a quick read, it's an easy read, 182 pages. What I wanted to do was create a piece of work, piece of literature that would substantiate some prevalent issues, some of the things that we need to talk about, some of these things that we can dodge. So I wanted to go straight at it and provide some transparency through my own experiences, just to expound on the point a little bit more of some of these things that I highlighted in these 13 chapters of the book.
Yeah, now, let me ask you. What inspired you to write the book?
It was many things though, Rich. Many things. You know, it's at a point, you know, in my life where I was being challenged. And you know, I'm a firm believer where I put God first. So I'm a firm believer that we're navigated sometimes in places we may not want to be, but is where we should be. So I was going through, you know, that particular phase in my life. I had just came out of a very, very, very ugly and tumultuous marriage. So I was in a space where I was really just trying to regroup, replenish my spirit, you know, get some fresh perspective. And I was in a dark place. And I started writing down my thoughts like I always did. And some of the thoughts, you know, I sat in front of the computer one evening, and I kind of wrote this in a preface as well of the book. You know, I sat down one night, I started typing away, you know, some of my thoughts, which I've always done as a little kid, shared some of my thoughts, you know, with myself. And I started looking at the monitor, and I went from 5 pages to 10 pages to 20 pages. And then, you know, right then and there, you know, a voice came to me and said, you know what, you need to write a book. And I sort of started coming up with topics, certain areas and realms of creativity that I wanted to address. And that's pretty much how the book was birthed.
Wow. Now, as you being an author now, your book, I know you have 13 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one of the chapters I wanted to discuss with you last week was, well, I want to discuss all of them to be truthful, you know, give little hints there and there, but not enough to make them think like, okay, let me definitely go get this book. Now,
okay.
One of the chapters I want to talk to you about is, are you in a situation or a relationship?
Okay.
Because that's what I want to discuss with you about, because I had just did, you know, me and Paula was talking a little while ago, I let people listen, as what would you do if you found out your mate was in a domestic violence relationship and you never knew it? So explain to me about, are you in a situation or a relationship? That chapter.
All right. And what I did with this particular chapter, you know, I definitely wanted to touch head on with relationships. And there's a strong misconception, you know, when we come together with another person, that we're actually building something. When in fact, we may be destroying every day. We may not be complimentary of one another. And the relationship is not really surmounting to anything with any substance. So that's where I pinpointed the fact that you're in a situation. Now, sometimes we love someone, and in turn, they like us. That's not a relationship. It's not a relationship. You may be the only one giving, and the other one is only taking. So there's no reciprocity. You're not in a relationship, in the situation. You know, you may be the only honest person, the only honest variable in that relationship, that so-called relationship. That's not a relationship. So I wanted people to actually understand the mutual concept of being in a relationship in comparison with being in a situation. Situations are ugly, they're conditional, when relationships are very unconditional. So there's a lot of people that are, you know, unfortunately, in situations for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you know, they've invested a lot of time and energy into these situations that will never surmount to anything prevalent. So I wanted to bring that kind of clarity and spark some kind of stimulation with the reader, you know, and kind of, you know, that's been a strong chapter in the book, because everyone is trying to figure out, you know, what am I in? Am I really in a relationship? Am I in a situation? So, you know, I wanted to really, you know, hit it on the head. And, you know, it's a lot of people that have contacted me about that chapter and reevaluated, you know, the terms that they've been working under with their significant other. And they've come to the unfortunate reality that they're in a situation.
Wow. Now, before I want to also discuss the chapter, Do You Want to Survive or Live? But before you get into that, I want to know, what is your favorite part of the book?
The most touching chapter for me would probably be Head of Household.
Now, explain that to us. But then after you explain that, I want you to get into, do you want to survive or live?
Okay. Well, Head of Household, you know, and I was very, very transparent in this chapter. And, you know, I shared my own experience just coming up as a young boy. You know, I came out of a dual-parented household. I'm the eldest of four. So my father was there. It took me reaching a point of adulthood to really look back in retrospect and say, you know what, this really didn't make any sense. You know, we were in a one-bedroom apartment. I shared a bedroom with my three other siblings. And my mother and father slept out in the living room on a sleep out, on a pull-out couch. And, you know, my mother struggled. She struggled. You know, me being the eldest, I really believe, you know, deep down, I really didn't have a childhood because I was forced at a young age to pretty much step in the forefront. You know, and I'm not saying that it wasn't times that my father didn't step up to the plate. You know what I'm saying? He did, but it wasn't consistent. You know, it was a time where he sat around for many years unemployed, but he was very content, you know, and very complacent. And he was comfortable with his family being uncomfortable. So I wanted to really share that with my reader in that kind of experience, and also define the role of the man in the household and him being the head, and him being the person that has to provide security, you know, shelter for the family, you know, by all means. So, you know, when I look back as a father now, Rich, you know, and I have children, you know, I just couldn't allow my children to be in a position like that and accept that and, you know, think it's groovy and think it's cool. You know, so that, you know, that chapter actually touched my mother a lot when she read the book. She was very touched by it. You know, she was very emotional because it brought back some of those memories. You know, because I used to be, you know, the little kid. And I put it in the book where I used to be the first one in front of the supermarket to pack bags when the cashiers came. You know, and I would take my little $20, $30 that I made that day and get me a slice of pizza. That would be the only thing I would purchase on my way home and empty out my pockets and give all my money to my mother. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I shoveled snow. You know, I did whatever I had to do, you know what I'm saying, to show that my mom's, you know what I'm saying, you know, had money, you know what I'm saying, for me. I went to school broke. You know what I'm saying? After making a couple of dollars. When you like 10, 11, 12 years old, and you make $30, that's big.
Yeah, that's big. That's especially back then.
You know what I'm saying?
You was rich.
Exactly. I would have been, you know what I'm saying, I would have been a don in school buying everybody and vanilla milkshake at lunch.
Yeah, all those days. Like, you got that type of money. Really? You're like, what? Man, listen, y'all can't tell me nothing.
So, you know, I really wanted to drive that home. A lot of my, you know, men that have read that chapter, you know, have contacted me and said, you know what, this chapter really made me look at myself. You know, I really got to get on my game. I got to tighten some things up. So that's what I wanted to do. And throughout the book, again, I try to be as transparent as possible, because you can read something, but when you feel the emotion and the sincerity and the authenticity connected to it, you know, it makes it that more conceivable, and it touches you in a different kind of way. So the book has that kind of tone to it. I wrote it in that kind of tone, and it's that kind of conversation throughout the dialogue.
Wow. We actually have a call on the line for you.
Okay.
We're going to try to keep it simpler than last week, but we got a call on the line for you. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
You understand? What up? Yeah, man, how you doing? It's Shatik, man. I'm checking, man.
So just got a question. Shatik, what's going on?
Yo, my question is, what made my man choose a book such as the one he did as opposed to an urban novel?
Good question. See, the thing, and I'm going to be safe with that, with my answer. I've always been a person of substance, you know, and you know that. So I've always been a person that sat around, let's chop it up, let's build. And, you know, I need to get some kind of protein from that verbal exchange. So it would only be right that in my artistic form as an author, that I followed the same suit. I just don't think that the urban lit and the urban novel lane is really me. You know, I have plenty of stories in me, but I don't think that's going to empower the people and inspire my people the way I want them to. You know, I'm an advocate for solutions. You know, I want to be bigger and better. You know, I've watched so many people get opportunities, they get their platforms, they get their shots, and they do the wrong thing. You know, how many ways can we talk about? I was getting money, I went up north, I did my time, I came home, this is what I did. I mean, how many times are we going to tell that story? How many times are we going to talk about so-and-so is getting money in the hood, he took everybody out of town, we all got rich, we came back, we bought stores, we bought barbershops. I mean, how many times are we going to tell that story? So, you know, I don't think that's my lane that I really wanted to go into. I didn't want to be synonymous with that. I'm not knocking any other authors that feel that that's their niche, but I don't want my success that way. I really don't.
Okay. Right.
And let me just put this disclaimer in there real quick. The route that I'm taking, it takes longer because it's a fight to sell substance. If Let It Be Known was an urban literature novel, I would have sold a million copies already. So it's a fight to pry into the conscious state of the reader. As much as people think that they want substance and they want to be intrigued and stimulated, they really don't. They're very comfortable with dumbing themselves down and not challenging and provoking their thought. And I'm not, you know, I'm not questioning entertainment. Entertainment is entertainment. But, I mean, you know, we need food. We need proteins. You know what I'm saying? I go, you know, I go in people's houses and I look at their bookshelf. That's all I see. You know, the girl with a bra on, you know what I'm saying, with a chain around her neck, with some sunglasses on, leaning against the car. You know, that's the book cover. You know, I'm personally over it. You know, so I really didn't want to go in that lane. I wanted to stay in the lane of substance and nonfiction.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You there, Shanti?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Like, you know, I mean, that's like a beautiful thing. I mean, because, you know, I really thought, like, you know what, you know, you say don't judge a book by its cover. So I'm thinking, okay, the book is about, you know, XYZ, but then, you know, once I really opened it up, there was a lot of good information in it. And I want to say, you know, that's a blessing that a lot of brothers got gifts. You know, God or whoever you want to say, you know, gave brothers gifts. We don't utilize our gifts. Like, we got the power to educate the masses. However, we give them, you know, the wrong foods instead of feeding them the right food. So I'm just saying, you know, it's a blessing, man. I enjoyed the book, and I would recommend it to anyone who asks me. Or if they don't ask me, I still recommend it. It's great. I learned some things.
But thank you, man. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Appreciate that, good brother.
Bye. Y'all keep doing what y'all doing, man. Peace.
All right, Shanti. Thanks for calling.
Peace. Bye-bye.
Now, what the question I wanted to ask you is about the if you want to survive. That's the one I
want
to know about.
Okay. With that, and I wanted to really hit home, and I wanted to motivate some people through a particular chapter, and this is that kind of chapter. So with Do You Want to Survive or Live, that's something I would always ask people. You know, we'd be sitting around chopping it up, and I'll say, you know, the question is, do you want to survive or live? You know, again, there's many misconceptions in our travels. Living is one of them. We, you know, we presume that we're living. Every day we get up through the grace of God, we get into our routine, we fall into our regimen, and we go on and on and on. But the question is, are you really living? Or are you surviving? What's surviving? Surviving is when you still have to worry about your bills. You have no level of comfort. You're still worrying about your bills. You're still worrying about something. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that once you reach a point of living, you're not worrying, but those worries become very minimal. So as we survive, and I notice the connection with mediocrity, with surviving, we get so comfortable with underachieving that we believe that surviving is now living. So I wanted to really, really, really drive that home to the reader, because, you know, we have our bills, we work, we rob Peter to pay Paul, you know, and at the end of the, we live in paycheck to paycheck every week, you know, we may be living above our means, you know, not living practical when we should be, you know, we have no understanding of financial growth because no one is telling us, you know, and then we consistently indulge in this cycle of regression, because you're really not going anywhere. So again, we're surviving through it all. Now, when we reach a level, if we reach a level of living, we now can get up and do the things that we love to do without worrying about the cable going on, without worrying about any kind of bills. And it's a different kind of approach. It's a different kind of temperament to your life. So I really wanted to go into the mental and the psyche of the reader and say, you know, just ask yourself that question. Am I surviving? Do I want to survive? And am I surviving or am I living? You know, and that's one thing I'm going to do as well. You know, a few of my partners we talk about very closely. And this whole Let It Be Known thing is a movement. You know, when I reach a certain level, I definitely want to go back. I want to do some business workshops. When this whole thing is where it needs to be, I want to provide people with ample guidance and how to do it, and creating their own book, their own movement, following their dream. Like my brother Shatif just said, connecting with your gift, connecting with your purpose, and bringing that in, showing you what to do with your money when you do get it, because you could make a lot happen with a little bit. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, you could.
You know, people would be making $40,000, but they spend $80,000 a year. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was a real estate broker in New York for a substantial amount of years. I started off as a loan officer. So that was one of the things that I used to really just go at people and tell them, you know, you can be cash poor. You know, people don't understand the significance of having credit and what it really means. They think they understand the concept of having credit versus having cash. And it all intertwined into surviving. But if your mind is conditioned to surviving, and every day we have to survive, we got to make it happen. But do we really want to live? When we understand the methods of living, we go there. But I wanted
that's
to touch on that
point.
And I wanted to drive that home, Rich, through that chapter.
That's a damn good point. Now, what was the hardest part about writing your book?
Finishing it. I had so much information and so much to address, because this book is really 44 chapters. I condensed it to 13. So I have well over 30 chapters remaining that I didn't use. So the hardest part was choosing what chapters I would use for this first edition. That was the hardest part. That was the hardest part, because it was a brain buster. Sitting there trying to figure out what should I drop first, you know. And even right now, I'm fighting with releasing the second edition, but I'm not done with this one.
So let me ask you: you got 44 chapters. How did you wind up selecting those 13 right there?
It was hard. It was real hard because it was so hard because I would pick one, you know. I went from 44 to 29, and I said, yeah, this is it. That's it, I'm done. So, you know, I had my significant other on the side. I told her when I dropped it to 29, you know, what do you think? And she pretty much was like, you know what, let's go to 13. She would drop it to 13. So I let her choose it. I said, you know what, let me just back up. And we went from the 29 to the 13. And it was hard because I wanted to do the 29. I was stuck on the 29. And then it was like, you know what, let me just make it an easy read because I could have easily made the book 300 pages, but that's for a new author coming out the gate, that's kind of intimidating. You know, 207 pages, 300 pages, new author, I don't know about that. So I wanted to make something that was a little bit below 200 pages that would be less intimidating. And you know, I conquered my goal because people have read the book in one day, they get it and they can't put it down. So you know, I conquered that goal, but that was the hardest part.
Now, considering, like you said, you were a new author, did you learn anything from writing your book? And if so, what was it?
You know, I've been humbled because I've dealt with so many people in the business that are astonished that I'm a first-time author because of the way I move with my project and what I've delivered. I've learned so much, you know, through trial and error. I'm learning now. I continue to learn. It's a constant experience. You know, as a writer, what I learned, most biggest lesson is that when you create some work, you don't know how it's going to be received.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've learned is that you really, really, really have to put your foot and your heart into your work, because it's an extension of you. You know, grace of God, you know, my work has been received in a positive way. But just to see how people take my words and my thoughts, they may re-quote me on some things. They may regurgitate it back to me and say, you know what, I'm living by this. This is a code I'm living by. Wow, you know what, I need to hear this. That right there has taught me so much, just not to take anything for granted. You know, and when you have a gift, you know, just imagine if I would have suppressed this gift and kept it inside, how many other people I would have deprived of this experience, you know, these proteins, you know. So it's taught me that in a nutshell, you know, just to share what you have, what you possess, you know what I'm saying, your gift, you know what I'm saying, don't suppress it, you know, and bring it out, you know, share it with the world. Universe.
Now, another chapter you got up there, which I'm very curious to hear about, is trust your gut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with I wanted to go into the intuitive side, our spiritual side, what we all possess, but unfortunately a lot of us don't tap into it. We choose to ignore. You know, if it's not feeling right, usually it's not right. So I wanted to tell people, you know, trust your gut, you know, follow that intuition, you know, and have that faith in what God is trying to tell you through the Spirit. And 9 times out of 10, if you listen to that voice, you know, it can save your life. It really can. So, you know, trust in that gut and that inner spirit, that inner voice. Tap into that. A lot of us tend to don't believe, you know, how much we have to live in the spirit and not the flesh. So living in the spirit, you make that connection. You know, I'm so in tune and aligned through growth that I feel everything around me. Sometimes it's not so good because you seem, you know, over emotional, extremely emotional and so passionate because you feel everything around you. See, I'm so connected to the people around me. I know when they're going through something. I'll call people and be like, what's going on? You know, how you knew? I felt it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that gut feeling, I always ask people, you know, that I'm connected to, you know, they'll call me to confer, you know, some of the intentions they may have. And I'll ask, you know, what's your feeling? What's your gut on it? You know, because that never lies. So I wanted to really share that through the book, that experience, you know, and how important that connection is and what it does for you and your entire betterment.
Now,
as you being an author, do you see writing as a career?
By all means. You know, I see myself, you know, the goal is right now I have a lot of work. I spent a lot of years, you know, writing before I released the book. I believe that preparation is key. You know, I've seen people deliver things into the universe without ever expecting it to pop. Then they're caught off guard and they got to go crazy. So I did my best, you know, to prepare for the best. You know, I have 30-something other chapters. I have enough content for two Let It Be Knowns to follow this. I also have concepts that I intend to pitch to networks. I have movie concepts, you know. So writing, I think, is definitely my niche, you know. So this is definitely something that I'm taking very serious as a career.
Okay. Now, considering, like you said, you're a new author, if you had to do Let It Be Known all over again, is there anything that you would change in that book?
Wow, good. Yo, Rich, that's a good question. Yo, I'm loving that book. God. Wow, that's a good one. I'm comfortable with where it is. You know, probably based on the reception of the book, I would probably make it longer, because I've had people, you know, say to me, "Dag, I want more and I want more," but I didn't want it to be longer. But I would say no. I would leave it just the way it is.
Okay, so you would leave it exactly the way it is. Okay. Now, is there anything specific that you would want to say to your readers about your book?
I would tell anybody, you know, with confidence, you got to read my book. You know, in all honesty, you know, I'm so comfortable with the book and the product that I don't even have to have a conversation with a person. If someone were to say, "Who are you?" I could just hand them the book and say, "Just read this. You'll find out who I am." That's how comfortable I am with the book. I believe in it. I know that once the book gets in the right person's hand, the world is going to know who I am. I know that there's certain people right now, established people, that need me right now as a writer in their camp. You know, I know, I'll just share this real quick. I wrote a movie for a celebrity friend of mine a few years ago, and I had the pleasure of sitting down with a Hollywood writer, screenwriter.
Wow.
He was flown into New York. This was way before I dropped the book. And I sat down with this writer and said, "You know, this is ingenious. I want to write this movie." And it went through the hands of some producers in Hollywood, all the way to him being flown out to New York to sit down and talk to me about my particular project. Now, it never came into fruition for personal reasons, but what God showed me at that particular point is that I had the gift and I had the goods. Because if this would have manifested the way I thought it was, because I was so excited, you know, and I was very composed, I would be a millionaire. Because Hollywood, and what I learned through the experience, is that Hollywood doesn't buy your script from an unknown writer. But what they do is they invest in your concept, and you're then given a budget to write the script. So you're given a time frame and a budget to write a script. And this is what a lot of novices don't understand. They go around and they go crazy on writing a script, you know. And, you know, I learned because I was in that pocket through this whole entire experience. So I would have got a budget to write the script in a time frame of probably 2 to 3 years before it went into production, the movie. But it taught me things about the back end of the business, but it also affirmed that I had the gift. You know, the gift was there, you know, with the talent. So, you know, I know that my time is coming where I'm gonna hit the game, you know, real hard. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm excited.
We have a call on the line for you. We're going to bring you in more.
Cool.
Okay. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing tonight?
Okay.
Very good, very good.
Good. I have a question for you, and hopefully you can, you know, give me some encouragement or tell me what route I should go. But seems like my relationship, you know, it's like problems after problems, you know. Right now, I'm alone due to the drama, you know. So what could you tell me about your book, you know, that would just make me get into it, you know, because I'm tired of being alone.
But you're never alone because you have yourself.
Well, I have God on my side always, you know, but I'm just speaking in general, like, you know, like far as a relationship. It's just that seems like, you know, relationships I get into, it's just drama.
You may be, and this is what I would say. This is what I would say to you. You know, this may sound to the left, though. You know, you got to start off with just finding yourself and digging within and just enjoying some personal solitude and solace. You know, also change your diet. Start doing things different. Now, you're probably saying, what does eating have to do with it? Because you feel a certain way. Food provokes emotions. You know, change your diet. Do different things, you know, take walks, take longer walks, you know, start finding out, you know what I'm saying, what it is that's going to give you that personal gratification before you start looking outside of yourself. And that's the problem with a lot of us. We forget about ourselves.
Okay.
You know, we're so busy chasing other people, but what about chasing yourself and finding out who you are? You know, and I say that to a lot of women all the time. Because they feel that they need someone. Sure, we need to coexist and we need some companionship, but you don't need to be with someone that's going to destroy you and detract from something that you're building within. You know, you can't love someone and they like you. You can't want to build with them and they want to destroy you. Love doesn't hurt. It's a misconception that love hurts. No, it doesn't. It's a soothing emotion. It's something that's intended to make you feel better, not worse. So love is not ugly. But I would definitely, you know, and again, say, you know, dig into you. You know, spend some good, get into a relationship with yourself. You know what I'm saying? Do some different things. You know, if you have my book, what my book is going to do is just help you spend time with yourself. A book is a great piece of tranquility because you could get in the bed. You got your little nightlight on. You got a little bit of soft music playing, you know. And, you know, your little bottle of water, whatever the case may be. And you can just mellow out and you get in a little zone.
Okay.
You need that.
Okay. Sounds good to me, you know. And I really honestly do plan on purchasing your book. And I'm not a reader, but I think this is something that I need. Honestly, I really do because, you know, like I said, I'm just tired of going through, you know, like, it starts off good, you know, and I'm talking about a 3-year relationship and it just seems like it's not going anywhere. To me, it's going backwards.
Umbilical cord. If there's no children involved, of course, it's a little bit different because the dynamics are more intense.
No kids. No, sweetheart. No kids.
So, yeah, so, you know, cut the umbilical cord. And I know it's not, it's easier said than done, but beginning the process of detachment. And just what you saying to me, that it's not going anywhere. You know, we got to grow, baby. We got to grow.
Yeah.
If something is not helping you, it's hurting you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a code I live by. If it's simple. If it's not hurting you, it's helping you.
Okay. I appreciate those words. And like I said, I am planning on getting your book in the next couple of days because, you know, maybe this will help me to start growing for me just to start the reading. You know, I've, like, looked at a lot of books, but I never, like, just really got into it. So I'm going to get into your book.
I appreciate that. And I've had a lot of people that don't read, that read my book. They don't read. So I've turned... They're not avid readers. So But I turned those people into my readers. So I need you to be my reader. And I'm selfish like that. You don't have to read nobody else's book but my book. And I'm all right with that.
And you know what? This just not me just saying that I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure that I do it. You know, the CEO and the executive producer know me. And like I said, I know I'm not, like, into books or reading and all that. I'll read what I have to read. But I will definitely get into that, and I'm going to definitely get your book.
Thank you. I appreciate the support.
And keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And keep God first, as I know you will.
Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
Appreciate it. Warm my heart.
Rashi, I see you. I see you, Rashi. I'm coming to you in a minute. That's another caller we have on the line for you. But we also have a form. I don't know if you're in a form. And a female named Kim wants to know, when you follow your gut, do you think that's God telling you something when you follow your gut feeling?
Oh, by all means. By all means. And, you know, just to exemplify my point with that, God speaks to you through your spirit. That intuitive side is God speaking to you, by all means. If I'm not feeling something, I don't, you know, and my gut tells me something, I follow my gut. It could be as simple like today, you know, I usually run about 3-4 miles a day. So today something told me, don't run. Don't go out and run. And I didn't. And guess what? I got a great phone call 5 minutes later. So I said, this is why it wasn't meant for me to run. That's how, you know, and that's how simple it is. It's real like that. You just got to follow your gut. But by all means, that's God speaking to you.
Okay, Kim, that was your response. Because we have a form, and, you know, you're getting a lot of feedback on the form. I don't know if they added you in the form or what the case is, but you get a lot of feedback. And people that's listening on the computer, they ask the questions as well as, you know, the callers that call us. We have another caller for you, Abby, we're going to bring
them on.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you have Al King on the line.
What's up, big fella?
What's up, good brother?
Ain't nothing, man. I'm just calling in, man, to show my support, man. Tell you I'm proud of you, man. You know we came up in the trenches together. And I have a question for you. Well, really a two-part question. My first question is, what was the driving force behind you writing your book? And was there a specific moment or something that you seen that made you want to write this book to encourage our people?
Ooh. I think it was adversity. That was the driving force behind writing the book. Most of our blessings come through pain. So I was going through a painful experience. And, you know, you get beat up. And I think most of us wallow in that instead of just saying for a minute, hold on, you know, this is really a blessing. You know, we're transitioning into a different space that we need to be in, you know. So I think I answered that part. The second part of your question, I think I want to be different. You know, coming from the element, coming from the Bronx, growing up in the 80s, and just seeing so much despair and mayhem, and being here through the grace of God at this point in my life to be able to talk about it. And just in retrospect, you know, I've seen a lot of people get out of it but never do nothing with their fame and their success. You know, I still got people back there that want to get out. They don't want to be there. You know, I'm not there no more, but I still got my people there, so I'm still there. So, you know, God willing, I need to get to a point of success where I can catapult some of these things, you know, that I'm trying to bring to the game. You know, it's bigger than what I'm saying because it's bigger than me. But I need my people to get behind me. The same way that y'all get behind somebody that's talking about killing everybody in their song, and y'all getting behind all that, get behind me and push me to the door. That's what I need. I need this book to sell a million copies. I need 10, 20, 30,000 copies a day. You know, 50 Shades of Grey, my Let It Be Known.
Mm.
That's all. I told my ladies that. Y'all talked about that crazy. Sexual erotica. Mm-hmm. Y'all went in on that. Everybody, you got to get this. Talk about my book the same way. So I can get some of these people outside of these elements. You know, I reach out to a lot of my pastors, and I want to go a little bit more into this to further answer the question. I reach out to pastors, all the educators I know. Bring me into these school systems, these platforms. The phone go dead.
Right. Right.
I'm
and,
like, really?
So, in other words, Rasheem, you are author yourself.
No. This right here is my childhood friend. This is 1G from the Bronx. You know what I mean? This is a childhood friend of mine.
We was doing butter punch cookies and vanilla milkshakes in the lunchroom.
All right. You doing the butter crunch.
This is up to no good in the hallway. Yeah, man, this is my dosky right here, man. So this is just monumental for where we come from and what we've been through. And I'm just so honored and proud, you know what I mean, for the late nights and the conversations, and I'm just happy where you at. And you had me mad a little bit earlier because you stepped on my question when I was going to ask you if you was going to write another movie script, because I remember the last time I seen you was talking about it and that joint was hot. So I know your shot is coming, man. I told you, man, the world will know who Al King is, man.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, like the whole, and it's so much in me though, Rich, it's so much, like when I tell you I got it, like I got the blueprint, like I got concepts and material right now that's going to change the game. I know Oprah, I'm going to sit down with Oprah and pitch some things to own that's going to have them going crazy in the room. I know it. I'm telling you, I got it. And the thing is that I try not to get frustrated because, you know, people not listening to me. They're not listening. I reach out to people and I'm like, listen, let's sit down and let's talk. They turn their back on me. So I don't take it offensive. I think that God is yielding me in a different direction and saying, you know what, you don't need to deal with these people anyway. Don't worry about it. I got you. Even with you extending this platform, and I've been on a lot of shows, you know, giving me this love and energy. I don't take none of this for granted because this is giving me a opportunity to verbally work out and exercise my thoughts so that people that don't know me through you have the opportunity to say, you know what, dang, this guy sounds cool. He sounds like he got something going on here. You know, but exactly. We also need to follow this up with book sales because I need to kick these doors in. And it's a number game. You know what I'm saying? They need to see the numbers, the powers that be. So if y'all feeling what I'm saying, I implore the fact that y'all support what I'm doing. I purchasing the book. The e-books are $1.99. Instead of buying two McDoubles with Big Mac sauce, you can buy the McDoubles. Come on.
Exactly.
They go out. They buying them right now. They buying the sweet teas and the Big Macs. You know what I'm saying? And the McDoubles with Big Mac sauce right now in the sweet teas. Come on. But I don't even get the empathy vote. Like people are not going to buy the e-book and say, let me just get his brother a shot. My shots are gone. They don't want to give those to me no more. They're making me work for everything. You know what I'm saying? It's a hustle and a bustle. You know, so I'm grinding out, and I'm saying, you know what? Help me get through these doors. Because when I get through the doors, Rich, I'm bringing everybody. They know this already. I'm going to stampede Hollywood, everything. They know it already. I'm connected to too many people. One way or another, I know a person that knows a person that knows a person. So I'm eventually going to get in there. And let me just say this real quick. Coming from the element of despair and mayhem and coming out of it, and you know this, Rich, we from an era where it was crazy. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So the young cats don't understand that. Coming up in the 80s, what they doing now, it's like it would have been an introduction in the 80s before the big thing pop off. This is, you know, to be here now and see all of these things and to come up out of that element, I don't. That's why I don't want to talk about none of those things. I want to empower and inspire people and bring some positivity to this and substance and still have that edge where you're not corny in talking about it. So that's what I'm adamant about doing. and getting some of my people out of this element, because everybody can't be saved. That's the reality of the situation.
Absolutely right.
Everyone is not receptive to that. They want to stay right there in the barrel and fight over nothing. But there's some good people that want to out. They want to lean. You know, I get in and I talk to a couple of my brothers, everybody in this circle on the front line. Listen, if I get a situation, I know people that's funny, that have thoughts. I'm going to make you a writer. I'm not going to be the only writer. I'm telling a lot of my people around me, you got books in you. Let's bring that out. You think I'm an author? Absolutely. I got, you know what I'm saying? I got that effect on people where I try to tell them and I tap into it. Let's do that. Let's pull all of that out. Because we need more fellowships. We need more consortiums, organizations, efforts, movements. We need energy. We don't need people to just be viral protesters and rallying for the things that don't make any sense. The things that really don't do anything for us. But the things that can actually help us, you know what I'm saying? We turn our back on it. You know, and we need to think
that's
the
bad
truly. It is. Mm-hmm. It is. That's why I take none of it lightly. You know, when we're doing things that are positive, and I'm so passionate about it because, yo, we gotta do better and we gotta do different. Yo, the book, this book, Let It Be Known, is a quality book. I've had to offend people because they try to come at me like it's nothing, like whatever. I write a book tomorrow. Yeah, I do that. You can't write an email. Like, you serious? Like, stop.
Mm-hmm.
This is serious right here. This is a quality situation. You know, anyone that has the book right now that's listening to me and has it physically in their position is going to say, he's not lying. This is quite, I spent a lot of money aesthetically to make the book look the way it does. This is not something I just slapped together. I got a professional editor to do my book. I didn't do it myself. I didn't edit the book myself. This was a professional editor. It was typeset by a professional and formatted by a professional. You know, this is not something I just slap together and I say, yo, it's cool. This is not something that the pages are going to start falling apart once you start reading it. You know, this was a well-devised plan being executed. And the other layer, it doesn't stop. I got people around me right now. They're working to get me in arenas. I need to get in front of people. I need to talk. Like when you call a caller and ask me a relationship question, I don't mind coming to someone's house and talking to 10 women in the living room. As long as I got some chicken wings and some potato salad, I'm all right. Y'all got something for me to eat, I'll come to your house. You sit there all night, 3, 4, 5 hours and chop it up. But Rich, that's how serious it is for me. I need to get in front of people and I need to touch people because people want answers. You can't figure this all out on your own, and a piece of literature can do that for you. You know, if you don't read, it can deprive you of a perspective that you need. That's important.
Mm. Wow. But what I want you to do right now, Al, I want you to give everybody your information. You know, let them know again where they can get the book and everything. And, you know, buy the book and get them all different.
Yeah, the website, you can go to my website. I'm on multiple platforms. If you Google Al King, Let It Be Known, you'll see my work. I probably got 4 or 5 pages on Google. I'm on multiple platforms with the book, but primarily at my website, the book prices are cheaper. And I did that on purpose because it's my website. So the AlKingPointOfView.com, like I said, the ebooks, I ran a special now. I'm probably going to do it a little bit longer for $199 ebook special. The paperback version edition is $9.99. And again, that's the Al King Point of View. And anyone listening in, if you're an educator, you're in the school system, youth organizations, ministries, things of that nature, you know, yo, y'all got to book me. Y'all got to yell at me. I need to be in front of people. I need to talk to people. You know, the book has been out for 1 year. I haven't done a book signing because I had so many people coming to me that I felt wanted to do my book signing, but didn't compliment my vibe. I'm very touchy about my brand that I'm building. I can't have people doing my book signing and then you do a party the next week where you know, you got a whole bunch of things going on that don't fit me. And it's going to walk
back.
Stigmas are real. So this is how real it is for me. So I'm building a brand. A lot of things I haven't touched and I haven't been involved in is for a reason. You know, and I can't do that. I can't afford to do that. You know, and I'm conscious of what I'm doing. You know, I'm not a walking contradiction, so I'm not going to write a book that I feel is instructional, empowering, motivational, and then you see me in your neighborhood chasing somebody with a gun. Nah, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. So, you know, I definitely need the support, you know, of the readers, you know, to pick up this book and continue to push it. You know, Brother Rich, I appreciate you extending the platform to me.
Yeah, like I said, you're gonna have our support. You know, we're gonna put it in the magazine and everything. And we're gonna push it with you as well. And you can definitely count on that.
And when I kick in these doors, these are some of the things that I wanna mention and I wanna highlight the people that helped me get through these lanes. You know, because it's real. You know, and just to say this real quick, you know, like my brother Shatik that called in, Urban Lit, I'm not knocking it. I'm not an Urban Lit author. That's not my lane. You know, I know my lane. So I'm over here in nonfiction. Nonfiction is hard. I had people tell me, yo, why did you do nonfiction? You know, people, our people don't want that. But I'm like, this is what I have to give them. You know, I've had people tell me that, you know, you should have wrote a street book. And I'm like, nah, I can't do that. That's not me. I can't go in that lane. So I took the hard way. And it's hard. It's hard this way just to push and push and push. Because people, you know, they don't want to be intrigued with stuff that it's sad, and I hate to even say that, but it's a fist fight. You know, I see people go hard for the things that are not actually gonna give them some protein. So the same way that y'all made these other books crazy, and the urban environment, our people, we blow everybody up, but our own people. That's the thing that's crazy. We make everybody else successful, but our own.
Absolutely right. That's what we gotta do. All gotta stick together. You know, I want to thank you for joining us, man. It was definitely an honor having you on. And like I said, you're welcome back anytime. It's never a problem.
Yo, Rich, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's always a pleasure. This second go around, and I have so much. The synergy is so dope that I just want to keep talking and talking. I tell you that. We need 3 hours.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a special interview too. But you know what? I'm going to set you up on a Thursday night show. So
I'm here.
The executive producer is going to get in touch with you because, you know, we have 8 different episodes a week.
I know.
So we're going to get you on a Thursday night show.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we're definitely going to get you on a Thursday night show with KL and Tiffany Bell with Reality and Relationship.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so we're definitely going to make that happen.
Hey, let's do it.
All right.
Well, love is love, right. My brother Rich. I appreciate it, though. Thank you, everyone. Yep. Thank you, everyone, for just listening and hearing me out. Appreciate the love.
No doubt. I'm going to definitely have the executive producer holler at you about the show for Thursday.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Fair enough.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Al King, Dons, and Divas. All right, coming up next, we have Positive K. So we're going to get in touch with him and find out what's been going on with him since I got a man and I ain't having it with MC Light. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to start off with one of his singles that he got out right now, You Don't Have to Lie. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby. All right, just like that.
You don't have to lie.
in the morning, the baby, you just getting in. I know how the song goes, so I ain't even gonna ask where you been. How that late you done did it, or rather trying to. I'm not trying you, but who the hell you think you're lying to? I can be on really for cheating on my brizzy. Asking me questions, is he faithful, true, tell me I'm what is he? You gallivanting, baby, playing the creeper. Where will I have some few expensive, but you make yourself cheaper. Talk about when you get home, you handling your biz. But I want my biz to be the only biz there is. I'm not trying to cop a plea. I'm just saying, baby, you know you got to be loving me.
You don't have to lie. Go
days coming back, not saying that you're paying back, but baby, that's really ain't no way to act. I can't figure your reason of thinking. Maybe it's that advice from your mama from that Bacardi that she's been drinking. I don't understand your rationale, and if you have style, maybe then baby, yeah, you probably drive me wild. I used to lay beside her and get inside her, but my mama said, so now you know you can't go tame no tiger. A woman looks up twice as long as a man could look down. That's half the story, the other half makes the world go round. Same thing make you laugh or make you cry, shut up. You live and die in the shame in your game, and don't look me up in my eye. Everybody plays a fool in the same time. You got your rules, baby, but see, yeah, I stuck to mine. I'm not trying to cop a plea. I'm just saying, baby, you know you got to be good.
You don't have to lie.
Dons and Divas, we're going to give it another minute. You know how Rich Money do it. We're going to give Positive Care another minute to call in. I believe that's him on the line right now. And with me right now, Dons and Divas, I have Positive K, the original Positive K. Welcome to the show.
Yep, yep, you know it.
K, what's going on, fam?
I can't complain even though I could, man, but everything is all right, you know?
All right. You know, I want to thank you for joining us. I know you got a lot of things going on. You know, I appreciate you taking the time out. It's definitely an honor having you on.
Oh, it's my pleasure being here. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. I was supposed to be with you guys a little longer today, but I have some engagements that I already made that I have to attend. But I definitely want to sit here and chill with you guys, man. I heard y'all bumping You Don't Have to Lie. That sounded real good.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. I also know you got a lot of things going on with Kevin Powell, you know, with the Trayvon. So I respect that to the fullest. That's why I really appreciate you as well joining in and, you know, taking this time out to still, you know, at least give us some time with you. But tell us about that. You Don't Have to Lie, Joe. He was singing that. He composed it. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, man. I love that song. See the video. I never released the record. The record's not released. I'm getting ready to work on that right about now, matter of fact. After this project I'm working on, which I'll tell you about in a few minutes. You Don't Have to Lie is a great record, man. It was produced by the name Big Shane. He passed away, matter of fact, so that record is very special to me. That's like his last work that he ever did. And also produced by the legendary Davey DMX, you know. he played the bass on that and came up with some musical licks on that, you know. So that's real huge. And to top it off, the person singing the chorus is the one and only Bernard Wright, the one who sang, you know, you know, Who Do You Love? You know, the musical genius of our time, Quincy Jones called him. So he's singing the chorus, man, and it's a beautiful record. I love it. It's one of my favorites that's going to be on the Paz K and Extreme album. So I really love it.
Well, you know, my line's up, so I want you to tell us a little about this project you got going on. You know, this new project you got going on that you just said you wanted to talk about a little later. So I want you to get into that now because I know we're pressed for time.
Okay.
So listeners, what's talking about that?
Okay, well, I was working on my project about getting ready to release at the top of this year, but I got a phone call from a good friend of mine, and it was a great opportunity. It was something I always wanted to do. My friend Greg Nice from the group Nice and Smooth called me and said, "Hey, man, let's go and let's start ourselves a little new group and let's do this album." And I said, "Hey, man, that sounds really great." I said, "Wow," because I know how Greg Nice is on stage, and I know how I am on stage, and we're very energetic, and Him and Snipes and Smooth are on a little break right now as far as recording, and they're still performing together, and everything is good.
Mm.
But he called me with that opportunity, and I said, "You know what, man? Let's do this." So I put the album on pause. My album is basically recorded already, though, but I put it on hold to release it. And I said, "Let's get this out the way and see how it works out." So we completed the album. The group is called The Great Minds, and the album is self-entitled Great Minds, and we should be in stores, man, like next month sometime, you know.
Okay. Now let me ask you, because I asked a lot of pioneers that came on the show, you know, like Grand Poobah, Cuban Link, MC Shan, and all of them. Do you
all my
feel
people.
Cheated?
Yep.
Yeah, all of them. Do you feel cheated out of the fact of what these new artists is getting now compared to what y'all was getting back then, due to the fact that y'all was sending out messages, and to me, they just sending out, some of them are sending out nonsense but getting all this money? How do you feel about that?
Well. To be honest about it, it's like baseball players from back in the day. You know, with Jackie Robinson being upset that A-Rod is getting all that money and the steroids is in the game. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that everybody came in this thing in the beginning for the love of it, and that's the common denominator. That's the foundation. We all came to this thing. Whoever's getting this money right now, years ago, you know, we all did it for the love of the game, and that's what we do. I love music, and I'm pretty sure most of the guys who do it love it just the same as I do. But I'm not mad at that, and really, there's only about five or six guys who are really getting some real substantial money, and that you'll probably remember in the next, you know, really, and that you'll probably remember in the next 20 years. And 90% of them can't even do a stage show, so I'm not really concerned about none of that. You know, I mean, I'm not worried about it. I say, you know, push on, do what you do, peace and love, and let's keep it moving. You know.
I feel you on that, King. Now, let me ask you, because I know we're pressed for time. I definitely want to let listeners hear your material you got going on. Changing Faces. Tell us about that, because that's the next song I want to play.
Oh, man, that was produced by the one and only DR Period, the guy behind all that MOP stuff you heard. Gap That Fool, Cold as Ice, all of that, you know what I'm saying? This song is done by my man DR Period. Matter of fact, I shot a video for this in Watts. Big shout out to my man Wildcat, all them guys over there on Grape Street, you know. What's up? And I shot it on the roof in Watts. And this is, let me tell you, we had a little tender moment. One of the little homies got up on the roof, right, with me when I was shooting the video, right? And he was like, "Yo, man, I've been here all my life, man." He said, "Man," he said, "I never even seen the hood look like this." You know what I'm saying? And so help me, I think. Yo, no, listen, he was emotional. He was a little choked up about it. And I was like, "Oh my gosh." I said, "I didn't know, you know, I mean, I'm trying to get a good video shot, but this touched this guy." You know what I'm saying? He said, "I remember this little kid threw his basketball up on the roof and we never could get it. And this was about 10 years ago. He said, look at the ball." Oh, you know, he was choked up, man. And it was real tight, man. It was real tight, you know? But Changing Faces is a very soulful record. It's a soulful record, and you're going to love it, man. Let's get into that.
No doubt. All right, Dons and Divas. Here's another banger by Positive K. Remember where you heard it. GQ Palace Radio. Love Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Take it, baby. Sunburst, yeah. Okay, you still got it, man. You still
doing it, man. Hey, man, all praise to you, man. I stay on my knees praying, man. You know, I wake up every morning, hope I still got that creativity and that talent, that drive, that passion and that motivation, you know?
I definitely, you still doing it. Now, have it ever came to a point where you caught writer's block at anyone at any point of time? For the flow that kept going with you?
Very good question. Very good question. I don't think I got caught at a writer's block where I was blocked to ever doing a song. I've got a talent that every time I hear a beat, I can always come up with something. I don't know what it is. It's, you know, the good Lord gave it to me, man. So I'm blessed to have that. But I got to a point in the music business where I got disgusted and I just didn't want to put out any more music for a while. I got really, really disgusted with the game, the business, the behind the scenes, in front of the scenes. I just got disgusted and did not want to be a part of this whole industry anymore. You know, so I stopped working, but I've never stopped writing.
Okay. Now let the listeners know, you was also in, you did a little acting, you know, a little Bronx Tale thing, right?
Man, a little short clip.
A lot of MCs, you know, they get into the acting thing. Was acting something that you wanted to get into, or did you feel like, you know, you were sticking to the
music? Another great question. I've turned down roles, man. I mean, I've turned them down. I had the leading part for Jersey Drive, the one that Heavy D was in. That was supposed to be my part. And matter of fact, we couldn't come to the proper agreement, so I turned that down. But I mean, that was supposed to be my movie at that time. And I was supposed to be in Strap, you know. And I turned that down also. I sat with Forrest Whitaker and I talked with him about that. And I was at the Def Jam management at the time with Russell Simmons and them guys. And they would feel like, we can get something better for you and this better for you. And it was going back and forth. It never materialized to the level I wanted to. But I took a lot of acting workshops and I honed my own skills on my own time. I'm an active SAG, and that's what I do.
Okay.
Anything creative is my thing, man, you know?
Now, have it ever came to a point where you felt like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to chill out on the music for now. I'm just going to relax with the music and take it on another different step. Did you feel like that at any point in time?
Yes, I have. I have done some stand-up, you know. I've done stand-up and did very well. And still do it, at certain points, you know, when I feel moved. I chill with it since I did the project with me and Greg Nice. I went back to rap mode, and I got a little bit more serious with it. But I'm a very humorous person, man, and you can go to my Posk TV and see my stand-ups that I've done. I performed at the Laugh Factory, various comedy clubs. I even got a call from Bob Sumner to try and work out something for Def Jam. He thought I wasn't quite ready quite yet, but they definitely reached out to me and talked to me about that. I'll tackle that. Man, I'll probably be one of the first rappers to go jump off a stage from tearing something down and go hit a comedy club afterwards. But it's fun, man. I'm gonna say something on that note though, man. Comedians bite more than rappers, man. Comedians I had a comedian come to me and say, that was real funny. He said, man, he said, listen, he said, I'm going to use that on the boat ride next week, man. Yo, thank you. Yeah, I was like, wow, that's crazy. And he told me he was taking it. He said, I'm telling you I'm taking that. I said, okay. What can you do, man? What can you do?
Exactly. I want to get into another one of your singles, but I want to ask you a question real fast. What information could you give an up-and-coming artist that's trying to get where you at in the music industry?
My philosophy was always this ever since I started. Now I do what I always wanted to do. Be different in everything you do, man. Be creative, whatever you're doing. Be different, man. I mean, I hate anybody compare me to anything else other than, when people say, is that Positive K? If it doesn't sound like me because I reinvented myself on a different record, who's that? And they'll say Positive K. And they'll say, oh, word? That's the best description people always hear about me. But I always say, be different. And when you're different, you always got a spot. If they say you good, if they say you whack, but as long as you're different, you always got a slot.
I feel you on that. I definitely feel you. That's real talk right there. Now, tell us about this single, Making It Happen.
Make It Happen. Well, that's just, matter of fact, that's not even on the album. That was just a little taste. that we did, and we shot a video for that. You can go to Pops KTV on YouTube and peep that out. But Make It Happen is a crazy little, as a matter of fact, Greg Knight produced that. It was something, we was in the studio, we were just working, he had something laying around. I was like, what's that? And, you know, and I took it home, and I scribbled something to it, and I really think it's just one of those boom bap kind of, you know, kind of new, kind of old school flavor, but lyrical, you know what I'm saying? No one's not really doing anything lyrical these days, and I think it's a breath of fresh air. I love it, man. Positive Kane, man, making it happen.
All right, well, you introduce that next track, the fast track we got for you. You introduce that.
Okay, this is something from the future, Great Minds. And if you call me Positive K, my new name will be PK Dollar. You know what I'm saying? And Greg Nice is going to be N.I. Greg Nice is going to be N.I. And we're going to be the Great Minds. And this is just a taste from the Great Minds album. And it's called Let's Make It Happen.
All right.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
One thing for sure, as this world turns, it's almost better hotter than third degree burns. Switch my styles up like wigs and perms. Run up in the world like super sperm. Young ones must learn. Look at my emotions, I'm a trip just like Big Worm. But some of these pimps took a turn. Caught that tricking disease, but I'm immune to germ. See, I got a link, but not that link on my neck. I link with bad bitches, y'all ain't hearing it, but y'all ain't hearing me yet. Cause when I'm here on the set, I cause a steering effect. I'm hitting bad like a deer in a wreck. Nah, I love us, but I'm here for the check. And that took years to perfect. Cause I'm kinky like Rick James. I nappy hair when it's wet.
Yeah, I'll stay turning it up. I'll be banging it out. That ain't working it. Yo, I'll make it happen. Stay turning it up. I'll be banging it out. That ain't working it. Yo, I'll make it happen. Stay turning it up. I'll be banging it out. That ain't working it. Yo, I'll make it happen. Stay turning it up.
GQ Palace mix CD, man.
Hey, I hope you do, man. I hope you do.
Yo, I'm real talk right now. Real talk. But, you know, we do a CD and we push it out. You know what I mean?
Hey, listen, man. I hope everybody's going to be as excited as you are and as I am, you know, because I put a lot of work into it, man. I think it's really proper.
Wow. Now, let me ask you one more question because I know we pressed for time and it's definitely an honor having you on. Now,
yes,
back when I got a man and I'm not having anything, you've seen your success all the way up there. Where do you see the success as you coming back in the industry doing the music you're doing now? Where do you see the success going in like a year from now?
Ah, man, I don't know, man. Sky's the limit, man. I hope I can come in and hit a nerve and hit a vein. You know, maybe the moon is light, the sun is right, everything's in the right place. I'm in the right place. You know, the magic happens, and I can kind of, like, twist something around, you know? You know, I'm just hoping that maybe, you know, maybe I can start a new trend, a new wave, and maybe people start looking back at a lot of the guys who have done it, who still have the talent to do it, and maybe this might start us into something. I don't know. All I can do is hope for the best and put my best foot forward. But with support of guys like you and a whole bunch of other guys I've been interviewing with recently, you know, anything can happen, man. The possibility is infinite. The technology is different. Social media is different now. It's beautiful, man. Anything can happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got 8 different episodes a week, so we definitely going to be pushing the joints. Ain't no question about it.
Appreciate it.
But I know you pressed for time. So I want to ask you one question, then I want you to just give out your information to everybody. You know what I mean?
Okay.
What's the worst thing about being in the industry, and what's the best thing about being in the industry?
Phony people, man. You know, I love going to parties. I like socializing and doing things. I just can't stand the fake people, the ones that the well wishes that really wish you bad. They don't wish you well. The people who can make something happen for you and don't do it because they just don't want to see you do it. You know, or anyone like you do it. You know, I mean. You know, I guess everybody call them haters these days, but you know,
Hey,
I can't take the phony people, man. The fake people, and the music business has always been that way. It's always been kind of Hollywood, but rap always had some kind of real element to it, some kind of ground floor, you know, where people kind of honest with each other, you know. In hip hop, we usually had that, but now it's really Bollywood, man, and there's a lot of fakeness going on, and I really can't tolerate that.
Definitely. That's the worst thing. What's the best thing?
The best thing is, man, getting on the stage, working all day, making a record, putting it out, breaking it, doing radio shows like this, going through the trenches, getting on the stage and tearing it in half, and people really appreciating what you're doing and saying, yeah, man, I felt that, you know? You know, it's like saying, God, well done. It's beautiful, man. It's a feeling I can't even express.
Now, I know you pressed, but I ask every pioneer this. If you could perform with any artist that's out right now, who would it be?
Any artist that's out right now? Man. Wow, man. That's a little difficult, man. That's a little difficult. I don't see performing with? I don't know, man.
A collab, doing a collab or, you know, anything.
I'll put it like this, man. He's out right now. I'd love to work with Snoop one time.
Okay.
I would love to work with Snoop, you know?
Okay. You know, Positive K, it's definitely been an honor having you on. I know you pressed. You know, my switchboard executive explained to me, you know, you got a lot of things you got to do tonight. But you want to give the listeners your information and everything?
Yeah, if you want to contact Positive K or get up on my stuff, you can go to PositiveK.com. I'll say it again, PositiveK.com. You can see all the old videos, all my new stuff. You can see what's going on with me. Facebook, / PositiveK1. On Twitter, / PositiveK1. On Instagram, / PositiveK1. And you can catch me on all the social media stuff up. Hit me up, man. Let's talk about it. Let's chop it up. I'm going to let you know when I'm coming to your hood near you. And we're going to get this thing on, man.
No doubt. Okay, I want to tell you, it's definitely been an honor. You know, and salute to you with the Trayvon Martin as well. Because a lot of people don't really understand that. It takes a big man and your success to push everything aside and take care of what's really important with this Trayvon Martin situation. You know, so salute to you and Kevin Powell on that, yo.
Thank you so much. Big shout out to Kevin Powell, man. You know, we all have a duty, you know. And thanks a lot, man. Thank you for doing what you're doing, and thanks for keeping hip hop alive and giving people the information. I really appreciate it.
No doubt. I really appreciate your time, K. Positive K, Dons and Divas. All right, that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all my guests.
I want to thank the host. I mean, excuse me, all my guests, all the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Like I said earlier, GQ Palace has 8 different episodes a week. On Sundays, we have Spiritual Sunday from 7 to 9 with Lavina Polite opening in prayer. Minister Arthur Weathersby closing in prayer. Cheryl Miller, they play gospel music, quote scriptures of the Bible. Feel free to call in and give your testimonies as well. From 7 to 9, that's Lavina Polite Spiritual Sunday. Then from 9 to 10, we have Crossroad Temple with Faith Walker interviewing gospel, hip hop, and only gospel artists. From 9 to 10 with Faith Walker. Then starting this Monday, July 22nd, we have UAR, GQ Palace Unsigned Artist Radio, where we're playing nonstop music from some of the hottest unsigned artists and pioneers from 8 to 9, starting this Monday, July 22nd. Tuesday, we have GPS, GQ Palace Sports with the Mayor from 8 to 10, bringing you the bigger picture, doing it how he said, hard body karate. Then on Wednesdays, we have the Diva Squad, Love Fantasy, playing the hottest old and new soul jams and R&B and discussing their grown and sexy topics. On Thursdays, we have Reality and Relationship with KL and Tiffany Belvin, discussing their relationships, discussing your relationships, what you please to call in about, and they give you the truth to the matter feedback and let you know what's going on in the news of today. And then on Fridays, we're back here with GQ Palace Love and Entertainment. I want to wish y'all all a safe and blessed weekend. Rest in peace to Trayvon Martin. I also want to give my condolences from Rich Money and the whole GQ Palace to T, our host, the Diva Squad. On Wednesdays, you know, our condolences to her nephew that passed and promoter losing Isaiah that lost his grandmother. You know, we know you loved him, but God loves him most. So, once again, y'all have a safe and blessed weekend. T and Isaiah, GQ Palace send their condolences. That's it. We out.
You can come to the palace if you want to. A crew thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A crew thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A crew thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A crew thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.